Are we right to go?
Yes.
I can't see it.
How's that?
Might the things that are called hearing aids getting in the way. When you start to get old, things start to fall apart. I'm not old yet though. Well, let's start with a prayer. Well, thank you, Lord. Your word is a path, Lord, that leads us to you. The Father, we just pray that we can walk along that path with faithfulness. Lord, we can do what Paul tells us to do, Lord, that not looking behind, but we look forward, Lord, to the upward calling that is in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, help us, Lord. We can't do it on our own. So, Lord, please help us and let us all give glory to the Lord. Amen. Well, how do you foster a relationship with God? We've been talking about relationship with God for a little while now, which got me to thinking, and that could be dangerous. But it got me to thinking that, yes, a relationship with God is a desired outcome. That's a great outcome. But how do I do that? Relationships between humans is interesting. It's one way of describing it. There are lots of ups and downs. Some relationships seem to break up overnight and some endure forever or for a lifetime. So if a relationship with someone I can see is difficult, how is a relationship going to work out with somebody I can't see? How's it going to work? Well, to me, this is my opinion, okay, so you can put your own interpretations here. But to me, it seems there are two aspects to make this work. And I do mean work. It simply just does not happen by itself. As with any human relationships, taking it for granted will always end in tears. Firstly, there needs to be a proper recognition of just who it is that we are seeking to have this relationship with. And to remember the good things that he's done for us and for his people right throughout history. Christianity believes in the Trinity. It's a triune God with distinct characters, nevertheless working with one goal in mind, and that is the redemption of mankind. Hopefully this thing's going to work. Jesus said this in John 10, verse 30. I and the Father are one. So when we're worshipping, we need to understand who we're worshipping. We're worshipping Jesus, but Jesus is God. The Father and Jesus are one. And the other good thing about knowing that Jesus is God is this, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13, verse 8. So knowing who it is that we want to have a relationship with allows us to treat the relationship with the reverence it deserves. In the Old Testament, people expressed their relationship with God through song. Interesting that quite a number of the songs we sang this morning had praise to God. I will sing praises to God. And that is... Now, I didn't know what songs they were picking. They had no clue what I was going to say, mainly because I only wrote it yesterday. So even I didn't know what I was going to say until yesterday. So, you see, Moses, we could go right back to the Old Testament. Moses and the Israelites, on crossing the Red Sea, sang a song to the Lord. And this is part of it. It's from Exodus chapter 15, verse 2. It says, the Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Now, they were singing this. I won't sing it because you'll all run out of the room. But this is what they were singing. They were exalting. They just come through the Red Sea. Now, there's debate on where it was and what it was. I don't really worry. It's a miracle either way. He parted the Red Sea or he drowned the Egyptian army in 6 inches of water. I don't care which way you look at it. It's a miracle. Whatever. But it seems that in the good times, the Israelites had a relationship with God through song. Psalm 47, verses 6 and 7. Can you read that? It says, sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. It's nowhere more evident than in the Psalms that singing intensified one's relationship with God. And in Psalm 59, verse 17, David writes this. Now, he wrote this while King Saul was chasing him about, trying to find him, trying to kill him. Okay, so here he is, and he says this. Okay, if somebody's out to kill me, I think I'd be a bit more worried. But he said, you are my strength, I sing praise to you. You, God, are my fortress, my God on whom I can rely. So even though in times of great stress, tribulation, if somebody's out to kill you, you are going to be a little bit on edge, aren't you? But here he is, and he's singing praises to God. David writes in many psalms about giving praise to God through worship and song. Praising God, Psalm 75, verse 9. But I will declare this forever. I will sing praise to the God of Jacob. I'm only taking little excerpts out of these psalms. The best thing you can do is read them all, and you'll get the gist of what he's saying. And then again in Psalm 104, now not sure who wrote this one. Hasn't been described to ascribed to David, but he wrote most of them. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. It seems to me to be a pattern of how we can connect to God, as music is the medium that allows us to enter into a realm which God inhabits. How often, when we're feeling down, for whatever reason, and there are many reasons why people feel down, feel depressed, feel anxious, feel whatever, but when in those moments, it's when we put on a praise and worship, when we put a song on, it seems that those words carry us into the very presence of God. And all of a sudden, your worries, your depressions, whatever they might be, your anxiety is lifted off you, because when you enter into God's presence, you enter into his peace. And we sing about it and we talk about it, but there is a peace of God that passes all understanding. You can be in all sorts of trouble and issues and strife, and you can be up to your eyeballs in all sorts of problems. But as soon as you get into the presence of God, those things just seem to disappear. God is, he's very into us, really, when you think about it. God is, he made me. He has a sense of humor. But he knows us intimately, and he wants us to have the best that we can possibly be. And sometimes the things that happen to us happen because we're too stupid to Let God be God and be in control of our lives. We always seem to think that we know better, we can do it our way. And sometimes that works, but sometimes it doesn't. But with God, it's always going to work out well. It's important that when we praise God, we use the right music. Okay? There is a warning in Exodus that we should be mindful of. And it's the story of Moses going up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. We received the law, and it was written on those tablets. And while he was up there, for a little while, the Israelites got a little... that's one way of describing it. They got bored. And they thought, where is this bloke? He's not coming back. So let's make a calf. Let's make an idol. So they got Aaron. Now, why he did it, I will never know. But anyway, they gave him all the gold. He melted it down and they made a calf. And they started to worship this thing. So as Moses is returning to the camp, finally returning, they can hear, he's with Joshua, and they can hear this loud celebration. And it's coming from the camp. And it was not a celebration to God. In fact, it was displeasing to God. It was so displeasing to God that he intended to wipe the Israelites off the face of the earth. When Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, "There is a sound of war in the camp." Moses replied, "It is not the sound of victory. It is not the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing that I hear." Not all singing will bring glory to God. And if you read the story, you will see that about 3,000 men were killed by the swords of the sons of Levi that day. Then after that, God gave them plague. Now that is found in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 18, where it talks about that Moses, when they had done that, he was so distraught that he spent 40 days and nights praying to God that God would not destroy the Israelites. Now that's a miracle in itself, because going without food and water for 40 days and 40 nights, I don't think you would survive it. You might go without food, you might lose a little weight, might be all right, but going without water, definitely not. So here we have a miracle, but Moses, in doing that, he changed God's mind. He didn't destroy them. He just let them wander in the desert for 40 years until that generation had all passed away except for Joshua and Caleb. So there is a warning there for everybody. I'm not saying what music you should listen to, but what I'm saying is make it be godly music. I know my grandchildren listen to some weird things. Some of the lyrics to some of the songs they listen to appalling, basically. They don't lift up, they just tend to try and destroy. They talk about taking drugs and all this kind of stuff. That's not healthy. That's not healthy. And they think, oh, it's only a song. No, I'm sorry. It gets into the psyche of people, it gets into their spirit, and it leads to destruction. And you call me an old fogey or a dinosaur or whatever you like, but there's good music and then there's rotten music. But anyway, as I say. Mm. So So in today's modern world, singing is all around us. You know, I mean, every advert has a song or something connected to it, you know. I can still remember some adverts from when I was a kid, which is a long time ago. And, you know, and they're still with me. It's the song, you know, that then gets in your head. There's the one advert I still remember from way back when we were living in England. So that's way back in the early 60s. And it was a commercial for eggs, New Farm eggs. And they had little chickens dancing across the thing. And I still remember the song. I'm singing it now in my head. It's ridiculous, but, you know. But that's how it goes. So, you know, I mean, we've just gone through Christmas. And fortunately, we have started to get back to hearing songs which mention Jesus. There was a time where shopping centres or whatever weren't doing that, you know. There was a time when Christmas was shortened to Xmas, or they forgot all about wishing you a happy Christmas and just wished you a happy holiday season. Trying just to take Jesus out of everything. It's, you know, and they say they do it because they didn't want to offend anybody. Well, I got news for these people. What about offending me? I want to hear about Jesus. Why is it that I can be offended by you not wanting it, but I can't sing the name of Jesus or lift Jesus up at this time? Why is it that way? Anyway, never mind. Relationships in modern society seem to be fragile at best. And although we can bolster our relationship with God by listening to songs of praise, what else do we need that helps us to fill the vast number of times that music is silent to us when there is no music, or when we're being bombarded by lyrics that do not lift Jesus up? Listening to words, songs that offer no inspiration, that do not lift us up out of the mire that we're in. Or am I, as I said before, am I being too harsh? Am I being too old-fashioned? As some people say, pop, you're old-fashioned. Well, I like my old-fashionedness. There's one other thing, the second aspect of relationship with God. First, obviously, the first aspect I spoke about is worshipping God in a proper way, and with songs that lift you up, don't drag you down. The second aspect of fostering a relationship with God, and again, it's my opinion, but it's to do with the third member of the Trinity, and that is the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit can be overlooked these days because we, as a race of humans, we want everything explained. We need to know. We don't take anything on trust. But if you're a Christian, trust is important. Because, as I said in the beginning, how do I have a relationship with somebody I can't see? Well, trust in a human relationship is essential. It is more essential with a relationship with God to trust. Trust in His word, trust in His promises. What He said He would do, He will do. And how do we get to know about this? Well, it's through the Holy Spirit. See, God remembers what we are. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. So God knows what we are. Well, he made us, didn't he? We are his creation, so he knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So how did he say to us, okay, well, now I'm going to give you something that will bring to memory everything I've ever said to you or everything I've ever done? Well, it was simple. He just said, I will never leave nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Deuteronomy. That was Moses speaking to Joshua. Paul recounts these words in Hebrews chapter 13. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? And God kept his promise to us when Jesus says this in John chapter 14, verse 26. For the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So when you become a born-again believer, a Christian who is born again through the power of the Holy Spirit, you get that impartation into you, where you know what you know, and nothing that anybody can say to you can change your mind, because the Holy Spirit resides in you and tells you what is true and what is not. That's if you listen to him, of course. And that's always a difficult thing sometimes, listening to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this to his disciples, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he said that, he left. And then those 11 at the time turned the world upside down. You read the account in Acts when they were upstairs, locked away because they were all fearful of what the Romans and the Jewish authorities would do to them if they found them. And they were locked away, and then the Holy Spirit came, touched each one of them, and they changed the world. For good, I think. Yes. So, and to this day, I mean, the word has been spread. I don't know if it's in every corner of the world just yet, but it must be pretty close. And it's been translated into so many different languages. not every language, but we're getting close. So who knows when the last translation is done, when the last tribe in the most remote part of the world gets touched with the Spirit of God, well, who knows what will happen. Interesting. But anyway, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, and tells us that believers are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And you were also included when you heard the message of truth. Paul is writing to the Ephesians, but he's also writing to you. Okay? Each individual in this room, Paul is writing to. You are also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Right from day one, when he created everything we see, God had a plan, and he knew every single person that was ever going to be created in the world, from the day that the world started to the day that the world will finish, who will become and be known by him. And when the final one or the time of the Gentiles is complete, then the end will come. I have no idea when that will be. Yesterday would have been good, but then I wouldn't have had to sit and watch that cricket test match. Sorry, Lord.
You should be celebrating.
Look, I'm a POM. I should be celebrating that they've actually won something in 15 years. Took a while, but there you go. Anyway. So our relationship with God is firstly birthed when we come to know him, when we give our hearts to Christ, when we say, yes, Lord, come and be my Lord, be my King. Teach me your way. Because our way isn't God's way. And what I was before I knew Christ is not what I am now. And everybody says, hallelujah. Meek and mild I might look, but when I was younger, I had I think the best word is a potty mouth, I think might be an Australian way of describing it. Yeah, English, but I could turn the air blue at times and frequently. But things changed when I got to, things changed when I met my wife to start off with. You can blame her for what. Oh, terrible! I'm now going to go home and regret that. But things changed, and I changed, and she changed me, and she's been good. And yes, I did. I'll tell you the story, shall I, just so that everybody knows. Just in the old days back in Sydney, there were the old Red Rattlers. Remember the old Red Rattlers? And they had the doors didn't close automatically. You shut them yourself in the old ones. And I was standing at Central, got on the train to Penrith, and I was standing by the door with the door open. And the train took off, and this young lady tried to jump on the train while it was moving, And I grabbed a hold of her and dragged her into the thing. And it was like, I don't know, there was just something. And I knew I had to ask this girl out. Now, it took a few weeks for me to, and actually one of my work colleagues said, if you don't ask that girl out this weekend, said, I'm going to come on Monday and I'm going to, you know, speak to her and tell her that, you know, so, you're like going to embarrass me. So I thought, oh, okay, so I better do it. And I asked her out and she said, yes. Oh, you know how long ago that was? 55 years ago. And here we are. But it was just something, I don't, yes. Would they say instant? I don't, yeah. But there was just some attraction there. That's, can we scrub that bit from the... All right, but I'd like to get back to my, I'm almost finished. It's, as I said, the fact that we know God is confirmed by the Holy Spirit. Now, what you do with that is entirely up to you. It is an impartation, it's a little speck, it's a little flame, or whatever it might, however you want to describe it. But what you do with it is entirely up to you. The beautiful thing about our God is that he doesn't make you do anything. God doesn't have an ego. He doesn't need you to worship him. He doesn't need you to bow down and prostrate yourself or whatever, like some religions do. He doesn't have an ego. It's to our benefit that we worship him. It's to our benefit that we grow this relationship. Because as we grow the relationship, we get that peace that Jesus promised us. We get the connection with God that takes us out of that miry clay that is described and sets us on the rock that does not shake and does not break and doesn't, but it gives you a firm foundation for your life. And life is interesting. I have not yet met one person, Christian or otherwise, who has lived life with no troubles whatsoever. Trouble will come. As sure as day follows night and night follows day, troubles will come. But when you're standing on the rock, you're standing in Jesus and you've got that peace and everything else that God gives you, those things don't really matter. You can come through the other end and you can go, yep, phew, did that. Thank you, Lord. And then you can go on with your life, being a little made a little stronger because you've overcome something in your life and it makes you a little stronger to go on to the next thing because there will be some other thing. It might take a few years and you might be sailing along quite nicely, everything is okay, and then boom. But if you've got that anchor, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Having that relationship with God, it brings people back from some dark places. It restores hope to those who have no hope. So, let me finish up. Now, as we enter into a new year, and it's not that far away, let us work a little harder on fostering our relationship with God. And we can do that by doing the Word of God, not just by hearing it, which is always good. But if we don't put what we hear into practice, then you might as well not bother. We need to practice what we hear. And hopefully we hear the right things, the good things. I know it can be difficult, and we don't always get things right. My hand's up for that. But persistence pays off. When I was younger, I played golf. Don't play golf anymore, unfortunately. But I played golf. And golf is a game that can get you very... It consumes you. I don't know what it is about golf, about hitting a little ball. And somebody once said golf is something about making a good walk terrible. Something along those lines. Yeah, that's what he said. But the thing was that I only became good at it because I practiced a lot. Now, I mean, I practiced a lot because I used to carry my golf clubs in my work van. I was a service technician and I used to drive around Sydney fixing washing machines and the like. My boss would give me a number of calls for that day. And that was it. I'd do those calls and then I could do whatever I wanted. And I always seemed to work out that when I finished my jobs, there was a golf course right handy. Amazing. I put that down to my great sense of knowing how to drive and how to work out destinations and things like that. But I always did that. I found that. And then at night time, I would go and I would go down to the driving range and I would belt a bucket of balls down the thing. And that was it. That was consuming my entire week until I met my wife and then things changed. And then I hurt myself at work and I had to give up golf altogether, but still. But it was interesting, but you know, persistence. As soon as I stopped practicing, my golf game fell away until it got to the point where it was no longer pleasurable to do a round of golf. It was time to quit. But persistence pays off. Persistence makes you good at something. So if you want a relationship, a good relationship with God, persistence. Work at it. Work at it. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. And thank you, Father God, that it is a light to our path. And Lord, that your ways are higher than ours. And if we follow your ways, Lord, we will make this place, this world that we live in, a better place. Lord, that when we leave it eventually, Lord, that we will have passed on to the next generation an understanding of who you are and the love that you have for people. So thank you, Father God. And that's my message for today.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Derek.